Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Samach Aleph. We're holding the last line of Samach Amud Beis, where we begin the Gemara about 6-7 lines before the 6-7 words before the end of the Amud. It says Tanya b'chein hoya Reb Shimon ben Yechoy Oimer. The reason why the Gemara says Tanya b'chein, because you remember yesterday we had another brisa of Reb Shimon ben Yechoy. It was roughly 40% down the Amud, about 18 lines from the top of the Amud. Tanya Reb Shimon ben Yechoy Oimer Giyodes Pechusim Mibas Shalishanim V'yemechad K'shei L'Kahuna. Reb Shimon ben Yechoy already talked about one halacha about a Giyodes left less than 3 years old, and now Reb Shimon ben Yechoy gives another halacha. The two halachas don't seem to have any real common denominator, except that both of them deal with, if you will, a goy or a former goy. Because Reb Shimon ben Yechoy was talking about a giyoris, which means a former goyta, and today we're talking about goyim generally. It's Tanya v'chein ha'Reb Shimon ben Yechoy, I'm at top of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, top line. Kivrei oivdei kachavim einem metamim bi'oil. A kever of a goy is not metamim bi'oil. What does it mean it's not metamim bi'oil? If a person is passing over a dead body of a goy, we're not talking about touching, we're talking about tumas oil. It says that a goy's kever is not metamim. Shnemar, ba'atein tzoyni tzoyn marisi, Adam atem kriyim Adam ve'ein ov dechavim kriyim Adam. Well, what does the Gemara mean to say? It says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, va'aten, from a Lashon like atem, you, tzoyni, you are my flock. Tzoyn marisi, my flock that goes out to graze in the pasture. Adam atem, you're called Adam, but ov dechavim are not called Adam. So what does it have to do with Tumas Oil? Says Rashi, because in Parshas Chukas, when we talk about Tumas Oil, it says, Zoisa Toira Adam Kiyomus Ba'oil. So what's the definition of an Adam? Oh, that's the Adam Atem, Atem Kri Adam, the Ein of the Chavim Kriyim Adam. I'm sorry, what's again, Nachman?
The other Lashon is that the first of Bnei Yisrael understand the size of Adam.
For sure.
So how do you know, refer to Goy? I mean, just because the term doesn't use a name to it, doesn't mean that he does not have a name. How does the term refer to it?
What's bothering the Gemara is, why did they have to go and use the word Adam? It could go and say Nefesh, it can go and say Ish.
Right, right.
The word Adam is very uncommon. Adam is Adam Arishan, but you don't find throughout the time normally talk about Adam. It talks about an Ish. It talks about a Nefesh. What's up, Solution Adam? It's in, it says, Adam Kiyomus Ba'oyel. So what's the definition of Adam?
Anybody should be.
I agree with you, I agree. But Reb Shimon ben Yechoy disagrees. Reb Shimon ben Yechoy says, since I find a pasuk in Yecheskel that Adam Atem, you're called Adam, what's up, Adam Atem? Everybody's an Adam. It's Kamash Malon that for certain halachas, Adam means only a Jew, it does not mean a Goy. Now, what you may be alluding to subliminally is that back in the times of the 20s, I believe, there was a big trial in France about a fellow by the name of Bylus, and this became well known as the Bylus trial. The Bylus was accused of going one of these blood libels, of going and taking a goyish, a child, and shechting it for the blood for the Karm Pesach. And unfortunately, we know that these were blood libels that went throughout the ages against Eden. Of course, this is such a fabricated narish guide. We're going to go and take blood. Anyway, so the prosecutor who was prosecuting Mr. Bylus said, I'll bring you a raya from the Talmud that the Jews consider goyish blood to be nothing. They said that only their Adam and a goy is not even called an Adam. So you see that they look down upon us. So of course this was very, very powerful dynamite, incitement against the Jewish people. So the lawyer that was representing Bylus sent a letter out to all the Rabbanim throughout Europe, saying, can somebody help me out with this because I'm putting together my defense brief, and I don't know what to answer. And break the chutz, chagimar, atem kriyim adam, ve'en avdicham kriyim adam. So the Lublina Ruv, the famous Ramaya Shapiro, who was brilliant, wrote back and said, pshat nigmar zazoy, that what's bothering the Gemara is, why does it say atem, adam, atem? Adam is singular. You're talking about one person. Atem is many people. So it should go and say Anoshim Atem. This is Odom Atem. He said, because Jewish people have one singular thing in common that you don't find among the Goyim. And that is, each Jew is concerned about the welfare of another Jew. When you hear in Eretz Yisrael, Chas V'Sholom, someone gets hurt, or Chas V'Sholom, someone gets killed, it bothers every Jew here in the United States, and every Jew in Australia, and every Jew in the North Pole. If you find out that a Puerto Rican gets killed on Amsterdam Avenue, go and tell people in Puerto Rico how many people will care that some Puerto Rican got killed over here. If an Italiana gets killed here in Bensonhurst, go in Italy, go to Rome and tell them, oh, an Italian got killed. No, my. The only one that really feels that they happen to be a singular person, as if we're all united into one, they only find that by the Jewish people. So he said, that's pshat here in the Gemara. Odom Atem, when do you find that people have such a concern for human life that every Jew bleeds for another Jew? That's only by the Jewish people, you don't find it anywhere else. Odom Atem, v'einam tachom kriyum. He said, that's the reason why here in the Bilas trial, every Jew throughout the world was nervous about the potential ramifications and the potential verdict. Nobody among the Goyim cared, and no Goy would care if it was an Italian, it was a Frenchman, it was an Englishman, only because it was a Jew, all Jews were concerned.
He wasn't black.
Sorry?
That's right. And all of the fly today,
but
I caught it on the market.
Anyway, so the Maasa, that's how we learn Pshat Nigmar. Yeah. Frankly, I don't know. Anyway, so the Maasa, that's the Gemara, and the Gemara continues on. You just said now that only Jews are called Adam and not Oydikachom. If anyone may say, by the Melchom against B'nai Midyan, it says that among the booty was the Nefesh Adam Shisha Asar Aleph, that there was altogether 16,000 Adam. So you see, Goyim are called Adam. Everyone Mishim Bahaimah. There in the other Psukim it says how many Chamoyim they got together and how many Bokar Vatzoin. So to go and distinguish between the animals and between people, it says Adam. But in a vacuum, you wouldn't find Goyim called Adam. It's only compared to that we took booty of animals, that we took booty of people. That's why they're called Adam. Similarly, the Gemara says at the end of Yoina, where it says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yoina, I shouldn't have rachmanis on the city of Nineveh. Nineveh asher yesh bo harbe me shteim esrei riboy Adam. It has more than 120,000 people. Asher yada ben yamin la smoyler. And the passing ends at the very end of Behema Rabbah. Anyway, but the point is, there it's referring to B'nai Nineveh. Rashi points out that Anshi Nineveh were Oyd Dikacham, were Goyim. And if that's the case, it calls them Adam. It's the Charai and Nochamu that Goyim are called Adam. Everything more, because the passing ends off Behema Rabbah, Mishim Behema. Again, the same tarot to distinguish between an Adam and between a Behema. That's why the Pasuk says Adam. Just to mean people as opposed to animals. Freyti more, but I have another Kasha. Again, back in the Torah Torisha, it says, "Kol hayrig nefesh v'chol negiya b'cholol tischatu b'yoyim hashlishi u'v'yoyim hashvi atem u'shvichem." It says, anywhere there was hayrig nefesh, whoever chas v'sholom killed somebody, or someone that touched a cholol, cholol means nebuch a dead body, tischatu. Tischatu is from loshen of the Efer Chatos, which means that you have to have the benefit of the spritzing of the Efer Chatos. Now, who are we talking about? We're talking about a Yid that Kol Hayrig Nefesh had killed a Goy. So we see by killing a Goy, that dead body of a Goy gives Tumma. You just said, but that Goyim do not transmit Tumma. It's only Yidin. By the way, the Chayrig Moris Kasha is a Shvera Kasha, because we didn't say that they're not Metame at all. We said they're not metamed ba'oyel. And here we're talking about negia, kol hayrig nefesh, chol negia b'chol, whoever is touching them. Anyway, the Gemara is going to answer that at the end, that in fact there is a distinction between tumas oyel and between tumas maga u'masa. But the Gemara is not mechalik at this point. The Gemara assumes that they're all the same, and that therefore a dead corpse of a goy is not metame at all. Yet it says over here that all the yin that touched a cholol chas v'sholom, hayrig nefesh, negia b'chol, they have to go and be metare themselves. Is the charaya that a goy is metame? Everything one is karai dil me iktil chad mi Yisrael. When it says in the pasuk v'chol negia b'chol, who says we're talking about touching a cholol among the goyim? We may be talking about Nebuchadnezzar that passed away on the battlefield, and now the soldiers are collecting him to go Nebuchadnezzar for burial. So that's the pshat in talking about that they're touching a yid. And that's why tischatzu, that they have to go and have the paraduma and have tahar. So to Yomar of Rabbanu who disagree with the Pshim Bayichoy, they say that that cannot be that any Jewish soldier was killed in battle, because it says in the Pasuk V'lein Nifka Mimenu Ish, which means Pasha, that there wasn't even one Jewish soldier missing, meaning that all of them were accounted for, all of them came back alive. It is the Chassidim that none of them died. So who died? Only the Goyim. If only the Goyim died, is Nachamul Hadar Kush L'Duchta, why did the Jews have to have the Efer of the Porah Aduma? As we know, this is talking about again the Mechama against the Bnei Midyan, and the Benois Midyan and Benois Moyav were there to go and seduce the Jews and the Jewish soldiers. And what the Pasuk is telling you is, Baruch Hashem, Nifka Mimenu Ish, no one allowed themselves to be seduced by the Goyish women. So that's like Nifka Mimenu Ish, Ba'aveira. For Aveira purposes, nobody was missing. They were all there, Baruch Hashem, they all vanquished the Yetzer Hara. Ravina says, the Gamza Kasha is Nishver, like we said before. Nihi, the Matinu Kra, the Atmuyei, Bi Oihel, Techsiv Odom Chiyomas Bu Oihel, Mi Magamasa, Mi Matinu Kra. So this is a very, very important distinction, because the whole basis of Reb Shimon bar Yochai's drosha is from the pasuk V'yaten tzoy nitzoy marisi. Odom atem, atem kriim odom, v'ein, avdicham kriim odom. So what difference does that make? What difference it makes is because then the pasuk zoy tzoy odom ki yomus ba'oil. Odom ki yomus ba'oil. So for the purposes of tumas oil, who's called odom? Klal Yisrael, and not the Goyim. However, the Gabi Mago Masa, the Torah doesn't make the distinction between Adam and not Adam, so therefore, bottom line is if a person were to touch, Chas V'Shalom, a dead body, regardless whether it's a Jew, or Lahavdil whether it's a Goy, the person becomes Tomei according to everybody. The only time there's a Machloik is the Gabi, a person who doesn't touch the body, a person is Ma'il on the body. For instance, a person goes into the cemetery, is Ma'il over a caver. Or if there's a dead corpse in the street, and a person's Ma'il on that dead case, or you happen to be in the same building with a dead person. So then there's a machloek between Reb Shimon Yochai and between the Rabbanon as to whether or not a goy is matam boy.
So why is it that a kohen can't go on the oil unless
a kohen, well, if it happens to be a Jew, then for sure, according to everybody. If it's a goy, because then we hold like the Rabbanon, not like Reb Shimon bar Yochai. It appears, at least from, I didn't look it up in the Rambam, but it appears that that in fact by Goyim, they are metamas. Therefore, a Goyim would have to be careful. Anyway, but look up the Rambam or ask a competent Orthodox rabbi, the Gabi, these halachas.
My father used to walk off the sidewalk onto the gutter.
Yeah, your father, you would have great say Elohim, that goes to that say. That's why he was able to have such a son.
Let me ask one more question.
Yeah.
I see some people from here going past the church, go under the canopy.
They do or they do not?
Yeah. What's the basis for going outside or going through it? What's the head of them going under it? If it's like oihol, you understand?
Yeah.
That's a question of avodah zara.
Okay. First of all, you have to deal with whether a church is avodah zara or not. But let's assume that church is an avodah zara. Okay, so then there's an issue going into the base of avodah zara. Is the canopy considered to be part of the base of avodah zara?
That's a continuation. A kohen can go under a canopy of a church.
So those that don't go, I think it's wonderful.
What do you call a funeral chapel?
Yeah.
Kohen can go under a canopy.
Yeah, that's talking about tumah, real tumah of this is not as tumah, it's as base of avodah zara.
When it comes to tumah, it's a difference between.
This is not tumah. I mean, we call it tumah, but it's not really tumah.
It's
not,
yeah, but
it's very serious. Very serious. They say that Mecholber, after the Second World Muhammad, after the World War II, went and met with the Pope to try to go and it was Rav Herzog from Bracha. He was Chief Rabbi of Israel. He was a great person. He went and he visited the Pope to try to get children out of missionaries, Yiddish kinder, that never had been left there by the Jewish parents during the war. He tried to get them out. Of course, the Pope said, Aloy mitan Aleph, and he basically ignored him. And then when he came out of visiting the Pope, the first thing he said was, get me to a mikveh immediately. I feel the tumah here, it's terrible. Get me to a mikveh immediately. So, Grois mentioned. All right, so you speak to them. And let's go and invite the next Mishnah. Zog to Mishnah, Ireis eso almona v'nismana liyos koyin godoil yichnois. We have this halach already within the last couple of days. A regular koyin that was ma'aris, an almona, no problem. Only problem is a koyin godol. He's a regular koyin. Before he had a chance to go and do Nisuin, Baruch Hashem, he was elevated. What's the halacha? Yichnois, he's allowed to be koinis. So the Gemara brought a raya from there. We were speaking about it the last couple of days, that the Iker is not the time of the Nisuin, the Iker is the time of the Kiddushin, and as long as the time of Kiddushin, he was not a Kohen Gadol, he was just a regular Kohen, so it was mutif him to marry an Almana, even though now subsequently he was a Kohen Gadol, but he's already married, so to speak, so Yichnois is no problem. He could already now be Bo'ol Leha, even though he's a Kohen Gadol, and she's an Almana. Umayis Yishu ben Gamla, Shekidish es Marta Bas Baisus. Yishu ben Gamla married Marta Bas Baisus. The Mishnah doesn't say, but from the story it appears that she was an Almana. And he was just Mekadisher, just Kiddushin. And guess what happened? Imano HaMelech Leo is Kohen Gadol. And the king appointed now Yishu ben Gamla to be the new Kohen Gadol. And now he's stuck. He's now Kohen Gadol and he has a Kiddushin with an Almana. So the Mishnah of Kansa, he was kindness hurt because we just said now in the Mishnah, it's permissible. He was allowed to go and be kindness, no problem. So now we have a parallel case. What about a Shemeres Yovam, Shenofle Lefnei Koyin Hejit, a regular Yavama? In other words, there were two brothers, one brother passed away. Now the Yavama falls Lefnei Koyin Hejit. So there's a Zika. Okay, but he didn't do Yibam yet. If he did Yibam immediately, there wouldn't be a problem. But at this moment, he was just a Kohen Hejit. There was a Zika. Vinismanli is Kohen Gadol. Now he was Oilig Duli, became a Kohen Gadol. Is he allowed to go and do Yibam? Even not only if there was just a Zika, it was a supercharged Zika because he even did Maimer. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is a lo yichnois, he cannot be koines, because here we do not look at the time of the Zika. We don't look at the time of the Maimer, because Maimer is only Drabbanan. We look at the time of the Yibam. At the time of the Yibam, he was already a Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to go and be Miyabim, this Shemeres Yavam, and therefore he will have to go and give her a Chalitza.
And a gift for a Maimer.
For the Maimer, yeah. And a Chalitza. Ishoktimar is Tana Rabbanon minayin shem ires es almana benisman li is kohen gadol sheyichnois. After all, the Torah says that a kohen gadol is not allowed to go and marry almana zoyne chalola almana grusha chalola zoyne es eil lo yikach kim sul me am of yikach isha. So shteitach lo yikach, he's not allowed to go and take. So maybe taking is at the time of the initial chasana. Kicha kicha mistei afrei. Maybe it's talking about kikach ishisha. We're talking about the time of the kiddushin. We see from our Mishnah know that the iser is only the time of nisuin. How do I know? How do I know it can be koinus? Maybe it's aser because after all, he's now a kohen gadol and she's an almana. Tam aloimar, because it says in the pasuk, ki em besula me amav yikach isha. In other words, don't go and take almana ugrusha chalola zoyna es eilele yikach ki em besula me amav yikach isha. So for Eitimar, what do I need the word isha for? You should just simply say ki em besula me amav yikach. You're not allowed to marry an almana, you're not allowed to marry a grusha, you're not allowed to marry a zoyna, you're not allowed to marry a chalola ki em besula me amav yikach. You should go and take a besula. So that's yikach isha. Of course we're talking about an isha. We're talking about baima, we're talking about a man. So the word isha is superfluous, and therefore I learn from that extra isha that sometimes a kohen gadol can take an almana. When can he take an almana? If he was mekadesh when he was still a kohen hejit, and afterwards subsequently became a kohen gadol before the nisur. Why don't we say the same like Shemeres Yomam? That since at the time when she fell Yibam to him, he was just a Kohen Hejit. And now what happened before he had a chance to go and do the Yibam? He was now Oilig Dula, became now a Kohen Gadol. Maybe we should look at the time of the Zika, or the time of the Maimer. Just like we're saying, we look at the time of the Kiddushin by a regular Kohen with his wife. Everything Gemara, Isha v'lo Yivam. Since it says in the Pasuk, Isha. So Isha tells you that it's Taka already his wife. He's already married. He had already Kiddushin. He didn't do Nisuin yet, but they're already Mr. and Mrs. Mashenki, in the case of the Shemeres Yom, there was only Zika. I, Maimer. Maimer is only Drabon and not Minatoira. So therefore, it's still his Yivam and not his Isha. Therefore, you don't have the benefit of that Riboy to allow the Kohen Gadol to go, the new Kohen Gadol, to be Miyabim, his former sister-in-law.
So isn't this a proof that Maimer is really very, 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 very weak?
Maimer is very, very strong, midrabanan, but it's weak, minatoyra. The Torah doesn't recognize Maimer because you can only do Yibam or Chalitza. The whole institution of Maimer and Get is the Rabbanan, it's not the Dirais.
Or Bishama.
Maybe Bishama would disagree, but of course we always pass like Bissel. Now the Lashon HaMishnah was very interesting. Uminohu HaMelech Liyos Koyin Gadol. Zokti Mor Minohu in the Smanaloi. So Rashi says that the Gemara is telling us two things. Number one, Mino means he was appointed by the king, which was not standard procedure. Standard procedure was a Kohen Gadol was appointed by the Sanhedrin and or his fellow Kohanim. All the Kohanim got together. Didn't have to be a smoke-filled room, but they got together, together Sanhedrin, and they made a decision who's going to be the new Kohen Gadol. Here the Melech went and appointed. That's number one. Number two, V'loi Nismana, says Rashi, is he wasn't worthy of being the new Kohen Gadol. There were worthier candidates than him. So you look at Rashi in the middle of the Amud. You see it says, Mino in, next to the Goy Sabach. Mino in, Kaloimar, HaMelech Mino, the king appointed him, Avol Echav Kehan, Sanhedrin, Loi Mino, they did not appoint him. And then it says, Mino in Nismana Loi, Nismana Loi Ketani, Tava Masha Deroi Hoi Lekach. He was not Roi to be the new Kohen Gadol. What's the reason why? Zoktimar Amr of Yosef, Katir Kachazina Hocha. Now the word Katir is from a Lashon Kesher. Kesher means a band. And Rashi uses a very strong Lashon. If you look again at the Rashi, Katir Kachazina Hocha, Kesher Shorishoim Ani Roya Khan. It was like a conspiracy of evil people. Shloi Hoya Roy Lekach, Elishanosan Momoin Uminuhu. Ah. Who was the one that gave the money? It was Marta Baspaisis. Continues the Gemara, the Umar of Asi. Tarka v'dadini aylele Marta Baspaisis liyani malka ademukile liyishu ben gamla begahani ravravi. Meaning, Rabbi Yishu ben Gamlo really was not on the Madrega to be the next Kohen Gadol. He married Marta Baspaisis. Marta Baspaisis was a very wealthy woman. In fact, she is brought in Mesechtis Gittin, by the parasha that we learn on Tisha B'Av, that she was the one that sent out that the shliach, please go to the bakery and buy white bread. He came back and says, no white bread, there's only pumpernickel. Okay, go back and get pumpernickel. Came back, there's no pumpernickel bread, there's only barley bread. No, bring barley bread. Comes back, I'm sorry, all of that, there's only rice cakes left. No, buy rice cakes. Comes back, only pretzel. Continues on the Gemara. So one thing you learn for that Gemara is when you go and send the shliach, give a shliach with a bissel seichel, with a bissel das. If you don't have this, you go buy, each time he comes back, you didn't have that, by the time he went back, that was also sold out. No, quite fabulous. Anyway, that's a separate story. Anyway, it says afterwards, Nebuch, she was so hungry that afterwards she went into the street and she tried to find something, like a collect from the garbage, chalila. And what happened was, she stepped into some tzoya, and Nebuch, she was, I'm sorry?
Of a donkey.
Of a donkey? Can't say of a donkey, yeah. That was one pshat, or another pshat is that she ate the leftover shells of the dates, or of the figs, that were sucked out by Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok had been fasting for 40 years, and therefore now when he was getting back to his koiches, the doctor said that he should go and suck out the juice from one of these fruits, and he sucked it out, and the shells were now on the ground outside, and she went and ate from them, and some sort of illness or disease that Reb Tzadok had from all of his fasting attached itself to that, and she ate it, and anyway, she passed away. Anyway, but the point is, she was a very, very wealthy woman, says the Gemara Masechet Gittin, and Nebuch, that she passed away.
I just realized, if she lived in the time of Yana lived in the time of Yeshua, like the time of much earlier, so it's ahistorical for her to live with Churban Bayis Sheni.
So you and Tosis are bothered by the same point, because if you look at the middle Tosis, the middle wide lines, Eilim Barta Basbaisis Liyane Malka, Lav Haine Yana Koyin Gadol, you're thinking of a different Yana. This is an Andre Yana. But anyway, so the point is that the Melech over here appointed Yeshua ben Gamla based on presumably a bribe. He shouldn't have been. In fact, they shouldn't even ask the Melech. They should have asked the Sanhedrin. But unfortunately, he was appointed. Ademuki Lev, Yeshua ben Gamla Kanarava, he became now the Kohen Gadol.
More now, expensive to pay off all the Hatzah. You couldn't have paid off the Sanhedrin. They were honest men.
Anyway, but the question now is, there's a famous Gemara Masechet Bava Basra. What the Gemara says over there, that what's the exact lashon? Zechor oisei ish latoiv Yishu ben Gamla shmoi shemalihu nishtak chatoir miYisrael. And the Gemara tells that Yishu ben Gamla was a grace tzaddik, and in fact that he went and established chadorim bechol ir veir, because previously until his time, anybody that had children, and he could afford it, he would bring his children to Yerushalayim. Ki metziyan teitzit tzoyer advar Hashem Yerushalayim. That's where people, that was the center of learning. But someone who lived in Tel Aviv, or Haifa, or Beersheba, whatever, there were no local chadarim. because and if a person was wealthy, he was able to go and pay for the transportation, for bus transportation, for the dormitory and all the rest. But someone that wasn't wealthy, he didn't have that opportunity, and there was a lot of children that were amiyaretz. So therefore he went and he established chadorim every single little shtetl all over. So you see the Shimon Galman giving a grace at tzaddik. So here it says even Ayira Rasha. So what's going on over here?
They don't stem, because he was appointed through a bribe, but once he was in office he did
He did tshuva type of thing.
Not tshuva, but even certain time corrupt people when they get into office aren't entirely.
Gotcha. So now if you look at the Torah of Shishanim over here on the side, look at the last two lines. It's a very, very last narrow line. You see there's an aleph there. So the gam ein ze Yeshua ben Gamla shehoya bibava basra shetikin kama tekonis shoyze tzadikoya el achir huzet. This is another guy. This is not the same Yeshua ben Gamla. They're two Yeshua ben Gamlas. That's one teretz. But Toisus himself, bibava basra, says that Yeshua ben Gamla tzakev ena yira tzadik. What it says in our Gemara that he was not worthy. It just means that they were worthier people to be koyin gadol instead of him. So he was takah choshev yira tzadik. But nevertheless, it was still people that were even more choshev than him, and therefore this buying the kahuna gedoyla and denying someone who was worthier, that's what the Gemara is frowning upon. But not that he was epsa. Say, probably Tosis wouldn't learn like Rashi that I went to Keshe Rishoyim. It just means that this was not a worthy thing to do for a person who otherwise was a very worthy individual, but not as worthy as the greatest that lived at that time. Yes?
This story here in the Mishnah about Yeshua ben Gamla.
Yeah.
So the fact that she bribed
the king
in order that her husband should be
the Kohen Gadol,
right? Which was she aware or unaware? I mean, what are the implications as far as the din about if he could be Kohenesser after he's Kohen Gadol already?
She may have known about this Mishnah, and she may have asked the Shala, and they told her as long as you make the Kiddushin before it becomes a Kohen Gadol, it's fine. And then the Kohen Gadol passed away, and then they wanted to go and quickly get him as Kohen Gadol as opposed to somebody else. So apparently they weren't ready for the Nisuin yet. If they had time to do Nisuin, they should immediately got married first, and you wouldn't even have the Shalik, because then there would be already Nisuin before he became a Kohen Gadol. But apparently the florist wasn't ready, the caterer wasn't ready, or the musician wasn't ready.
But I mean, the point is still, you think it's coming not just to tell you a story, but to tell you something about halacha.
It's telling you about halacha.
But
very important.
It's an example, but it almost seems as if, like, when it says Vikansa, it's like, who said you were supposed to be Vikansa or something? Like, you know, just
look at the beginning.
What's the implication of being bribed? And
the bribe is not a nice thing, but in terms of this halach of Ishus, it's fine. Because the Mishnah started off, Iris Almona, Benizmali Yuskan Gadol, Yechnois. And I'll bring you a story. Umaz Vishubin Gamla, Yitaka was originally a Kohen Hedjit. He married an Almona, no problem. We know a Melech, and then Vikansa, in accordance with our
Mishnah. This is just an arbitrary, tangential detail to the story. The implications of the bribery doesn't have
to. Right, nothing to do with it, exactly. That's Mishnah doesn't even mention it. It's only the Gemara that's Medayik from there. But the Iker that we bring from our Mishnah is that not only is this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, but it's halacha l'maisa, that if in fact you have a Kohen Hedjit that marries an Almana and then subsequently wants to do Nisuan, and he became a Kohen Gadol, yichlois l'chatchila, no problem.
Actually, it shows you he could have given a chalitza and get the state Kohen Gadol, and basically he could have used her to get the office, and he shows you he's a man of his word.
A man of integrity.
Well,
and we continue on. So the Mishnah Vayta Kohen Gadol Shemeis Achiv Cholitz V'Loim. I'm sorry. Kohen Gadol Shemeis Achiv Cholitz V'Loim Miyabim. You have a Kohen Gadol whose brother passed away, and now the Kohen Gadol should be Miyabim or should be Cholitz. Can the Kohen Gadol be Miyabim? No, because she's an Almana, and since she's an Almana, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. So therefore, the only thing you can do is chalitza. You cannot do yim. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara podcast with Tony, we learned in the Mishnah that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to miyab in the Almana. And since it just says Almana, it doesn't distinguish between Almana mina Edison, Almana mina Nisuan. So, l'choyra, l'ishna mina Edison, l'ishna mina Nisuan. I can understand why I won't allow the Kohen Gadol to be miyabem the Almana min hanisuin, because now he'll be over both an essay and a lois essay. What's the essay and the lois essay? Number one, she's a lois essay, she's an Almana. almana ugrusha chalola zoyna es eilu yikach. And there's also that's a key in besula meyama v'yikachisha. If she's an almana min nisuin, she's a beula. She's a beula. So therefore, you got two strikes. So he has a mitzvah taka being miyamim, a mitzvah sasei, maskim. But there's both an asei and a lois asei, and therefore a nesa deich lois asei. Yes, that makes sense. Elamina irisin. If however she's only an almana min irisin, then the only problem that we have is that she's an almana. She never lived with the former husband, with the late husband. That being the case, she's still a psula. Fine, since it's only a lav. Yovi Esav, let the essay of Yivam, Yovi Aleha, the mitzvah of Yivam. Viyivchez Loises, let her push away the Loises of the lav of Almana, Ugarusha, Chalola, Zoynes, Eilu Yikach. Have an essay doicha Loises. Everything, Mara, you're absolutely right. The first time when he would be Miyabim, you're right, he would be Mekayim and Mitzah. However, it's Gzeira B'Yerishayna to be Yishniya, because once he's Miyabim her, then you can't go and say, okay, now give a get. He obviously he's going to want to continue. No, most people don't marry with the intention of, you know, after one night, going and getting divorced. And so therefore, the first time that they live together is Takan Esed Dechaloy Seseh. But the second time is no longer the Mitzah of Yivam, because Yivam is already Mekayim, he's already finished. Not every single time he lives with it, oh, new mitzvah yibam, new mitzvah yibam. It's only one mitzvah. So therefore, the next time it'll only be a lois asay. You don't have the benefit of the asay. And that's why we're already going to the first time, or to the second time.
I don't understand this. We had this earlier in the Mishnah. I don't understand. Why wouldn't you say, but even just a regular yibam, that after the first time, you have an issue of eshesach?
Because the Torah says that when you have an eshesach, she'in labonim, then you have a special mitzvah of yibam chalitza, and then the whole iser goes away. Poof, doesn't exist anymore. So it's not like an exception to the rule.
That iser goes away.
The iser of eishesach goes away totally.
This iser by the kohen gadol doesn't go away.
Each time he lives with her, forget about yibam. Kohen gadol marries an almana. Every time he lives with her, next 1,000 times over the next 100 years, it's even iser each time. But
yeah. It is.
Now she also say, good, we can invite the next
so
mission.
She's not in the case of in regular Eishes Ach, she's Ishtol Lachol Dover.
So what do you mean if there's Yibam?
But in the case of Chol, she is his wife, but she's an Ishtol Be'Isser Lachol Dover.
What's bothering you, you're apparently a Rebbe Kiva's. Tell me them. Exactly, the Kedush that Rebbe Kiva held that Ein Kedushim Toysim Chayav Yilav. We hold condition is types of chayav ilam. So they are living literally in sin. Each time they live, they're living in sin. They're oyven isin. But the condition is typhus. Condition was valid. It's not like Mendy's case where they had non-kosher edim. Condition was valid. However, each time it's a sin in getting involved. However, kontra b'kiva, it's not typhus at all, like you're saying. Okay, so the Mishnah Vayitzeh. Koyin hedger layisa islandis. A koyin should not marry an islandis. The Rashi immediately points out that we're not talking about Isurei Kahuna anymore. We're really talking about a halacha that applies to every person in Klal Yisrael. Even a Yisrael should not marry an islandess because of the din of Peria Verivia. So, Oibazoi, why does the Mishnah focus on a Koyin? So, Tanashi, the Gemara is going to ask that Kasha. Mecha will get to it right after we finish the Mishnah. But a regular Koyin should not marry an islandess. And the same thing, a regular Yisrael should not marry an islandess. Islandess means, of course, a woman that we know cannot have children. Unless he already has a wife from before, or has a wife now, or he already had children. In other words, if he's already Mekayim the Mitzvah Periverivia, then it's okay. But if he wasn't Mekayim the Mitzvah Periverivia, then he cannot marry an islandess, because that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda, Im Avu Bishi Yesh LeYisha Banim, LeYisa Islandess. Even if he had a wife, or has a wife, and has or had children, LeYisa Islandess, she should not go marry an islandess. She is Zoyna Amur B'Torah. Now this is a very, very strong Lashon that she's the Zoyna. What is the basis of Zoyna? Zoyna, we mean from the Pasuk of Almana Gerusha Chalola Zoyna, or Legabi regular Kohen Hedjit, where it says that he's Isha Gerusha, Isha Zoyna v'chalol liyikach v'isha grusha me'isha liyikach. When it says in the Lashon of Zoyna, that of course only applies to a Kohen, it doesn't apply to Yisrael. But it says, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah holds a very, very, shall I say, extreme view, that any islandess who marries, it's b'chinas Zoyna. Why, where, when? We'll see that in the Mishnah in the Amid Beis, what's the makor of Rabbi Yehuda. But because of that, a Kohen, even if he had children, even if he has a wife and had a wife, he should not marry an islandess because she's the Zayna Amur B'Toyra. Not that she's the only one, but she is among the category of Zayna, and a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Zayna. V'chom Maimrem, v'chom say, come on. Ein Zayna Ella Giyoyres U'mishukhreres V'shenivala B'ilas Zanus. What's the definition of a Zayna? Zayna means a Giyoyres Mishukhreres. Why is a Zayna a Giyoyres Mishukhreres? Zoktech Rashi, the B.S. Akam, the Eved Pasla. As we said in the Gemara yesterday, and as we've had a number of times in our Masechta, every Giyoris, the assumption was, with the exception, according to Shimba Yechoi, of a Giyoris who's less than 3 years old, but otherwise, every other Giyoris, we are assuming that she unfortunately lived with people, and therefore, as a result of the Bias Akam, she became possible. Or if she is a Shivcha Mishukhreres, that means previously she was a Shivcha Kananis, she lived with Avodim, that again, possible to her for Kona. Any Israelis that got married to someone that she's not allowed to get married to. For instance, a regular woman that married a mamza, even mamza b'kalashem. So not talking about isure kahuna, because we're not talking about a halala, we're talking about a zoina. So any woman who's not allowed to marry a particular individual, it doesn't have to be dafta chayove krisis, even stama chayove lavin. Like the mama Mekal Hashem, if she goes and marries a mamzer, for instance. Then she's marrying someone that she's not allowed to, she becomes a Zayin.
A Zayin the Chum. A Christian woman who has children decides to be Megaya.
Right.
Why should she be called a Zayin?
She has a, not that we're going to go and call her Zayin. We're going to go and say, V'haftim as a ger, we're going to love every ger and every geris, no question. But for Gabi Kehanim, since Kehanim are. We are Baruch Hashem Zoche, Kodesh Baruch Hu allows us to sit within your Dalet Amos because you happen to be a Goy Sakoyin. We're just ordinary Anoshim Shutim. So for the elevated Goy Sakahanim, they're not allowed to go marry a woman that may have been.
Tape, you just said.
It's on the tape.
So therefore, there's a difference though. In the case of an Israelis who's Nivelis Bilas Abila, she's Nivel by a Mamzer, I said she's the Kedusha, and the Bia was possible her. Mm-hmm. But a Gioris, before she converted, she had no status that the Kedusha. Why
you're absolutely right.
So why is the. Why even if she did have Bia with
a, multiple Goyim?
Before she converted, why does it affect her? She's like a childless newborn.
Yeah, because of the fact that since she lived with someone who was a goy and she was a goy at the time.
Well, she's not a sula, I understand, but why is she a zona? Why is there be a consistent?
If you learn that the word zona means this person, so that's what the definition is. You open up the Webster's dictionary.
It's a category. You it look doesn't up, mean that she's a prostitute.
No, I understand. Yeah. No, it's not talking about prostitute for hire. I'm talking about just the category of zona. But it's something that happened. Why are we ascribing something of halachic significance to her since this happened before?
That's
she
a definitional thing. A definition of a zoina according to this man, the Omar, is, according to the Rabban, we're going to have Mitchum on the Omid Beis, 5 or 6 different views as the definition of zoina. According to him, the definition of zoina is someone who was, even when she was a goita, and she wasn't Takim Gedusha, and she was not Mitzvah and all the rest, she lives with a goy. That's problem one, or Shivcha, problem two, or a Jewish woman that had a bilisnus. Mitch will see in the Amud Beis more about that. By the way, the bottom Toises disagrees with Rashi and said it's got to be Dafka, a Bia of Chayovi Krisus and not Chayovi Lavin. If she's Chayovi Lavin, then she does not become a Zoyna, Ayin Shem Toises. We'll see Mitch in the Gemara that's going to be other Shittas as well.
A friend of mine, Shlomo Kahan, always one.
Yeah.
Was it Rome on 34th Street?
Yeah.
And he sat with a girl.
Yeah.
About to convert.
Right.
And what happened?
Thank you.
He was looking for work and work with her, and eventually she was going out with someone.
Right.
And then she came back to him and said, how come you didn't tell me I was a son? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He didn't know what to say to her. The boy's father told the son that you can't marry her. Well, this, you understand, because you were crying.
Exactly.
But he didn't tell her before he started to convert, I understand, to work on conversion, to find out, you know, to tell her that she's going with somebody who's a Kohen.
Did he know that she was going with
a Kohen? I didn't realize that I'm a Zayin. Uh-huh.
Well, it's only halachic zayna. We don't mean a zayna
the
way
you use
it.
It's a very harsh word.
It's a harsh
she
word.
She couldn't marry the boy she was born with.
No, so she won't.
I know of a young man, a Cohen.
Yes.
Family wasn't Orthodox. He was going out with a non-Jewish girl.
Yeah.
And she got interested in Judaism. She brought him around. Uh-huh. And then at one point he found out he's a Cohen.
Right.
And so the very woman who got him interested in returning to Yiddishkeit, mm-hmm. actually is he couldn't marry him, mother mm-hmm. marrying somebody else.
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
He went to visit relatives, and he saw on the tzeva, the graveyard of relatives, on the tzeva, the hands extended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a true. He stood on the west side.
Mm-hmm. I had a fellow in my office who was not religious, but his name was Cohen, and his girlfriend's father passed away, and he wanted to go to the Levaya, and then his father, who also was not religious, says, you cannot go to the funeral. Why can't you? Because you're a Cohen. So what means a Cohen? Cohen means it. You never heard about it. So he comes into my office, I'm kind of the office rabbi, so to speak, and he said, do you know anything about this? I said, sure, you happen to be a Cohen. So what does that mean, a Cohen? Just have these prohibitions, I can't do this and that. No, you're an elevated status. It means when the temple will be rebuilt, you're going to be the one that's going to do the avodah. I won't be able to do it. You are a very chashuv person. I got to stand up for you. So he felt very good about it. Whether he went to Levaya, not Vesav Nish, but I had to explain to him the benefits. And then we had Nebuch the reverse here on the west side, of course here on the west side, where else would it be, that you had a father who was a Kohen for many, many years, who was Duchen and all the rest, and his son fell in love, Taka, with a Gioiris, and he wanted to go and marry her, and then the rabbi said, you can't, you're a Kohen. So he went and got a bezin together of three rabbis. I don't know who those three rabbis were. Apparently not chief rabbis. Who knows? Anyway, and I don't know what he said or what he did, but they went and paskin that he's not a Kohen, removed the Kohen status from him and made him a Yisrael, and he went and married her. And the father, of course, was furious, because now we were saying, how could the father be a Kohen and the son not being a Kohen? But he didn't want to go through the details of what the story was. Anyway, I think I don't think the marriage lasted, but that's neither here nor there.
Now we go back. Did he become a Kohen again?
That, I don't know. I only know the story that far. I don't know beyond that.
Is this a machlokas under 3 years old if they converted under 3 years old?
That was yesterday's machlokas. Yesterday's Gemara. Reb Shimon bar Yochai and the Rabban.
Ayin Shem. There's no heter if they were married under 3 years old.
I don't know too many people that got married less than 3 years old.
They converted
less than 3 years old.
They adopted a kid.
You could convert a child less than 3 years old. Yeah, whether Cohen can go marry, I don't know.
Based on the show,
ask the great rabbis.
I know of conservative a conversion that, and a Cohen married today to a Gioris and send the kids to day school,
uh-huh.
and the kids are Shomer Shabbos and the family Shomer Shabbos, but no one will convert the woman.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is a family that's existing today. The kids are all from their Shomer Shabbos and everything, but nobody will convert the
mother was converted through a conservative rabbi.
Yeah, now no one will convert the woman.
Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're getting off the subject. Let's continue on. Let's go back to the Gemara. We start off the Mishnah by saying a Kohen Hedget should not marry an islander because of issues related to Peri V'Rivia. It's my time, Mishnah Peri V'Rivia. We want that each person who marries a woman that's capable of having children. Therefore, don't marry an islander. Not just a Kohen. If you marry an islander, you're not going to have kids, and that's the mitzvah Peri V'Rivia. Amalei said, you're absolutely right. Why did it say Kohen? Mishum to Kaboy Lemisli Sefer. What is saying the Sefer? Oh, that part of the Mishnah. The first halacha of the Mishnah, it could say Yisrael. But because the second halacha about marrying an islander who has the halachic status of Zoyna only applies to a Kohen, not to Yisrael, that's why we start off the Mishnah talking about a Kohen. But how everybody was to read it and to chisht and to mishd and the Amr Aleph, how could it be that an islandess is a zayna? Amr Afuna, my time with the Yehuda, what's the time? Tachsid, it's a psalm, it's a posse again, hoi sheya. Ochlu velo yizbo, hiznu velo yefroitzu. Ochlu means a person ate velo yizbo, he's not sated, he's not satisfied, he doesn't have severe, achalt v'savata. Hiznu, they went and did znus, velo yefroitzu, and they didn't have a pritza. Here the pritza is not a lashon pirza, but pritza means that they didn't sprout. Why? Because it was a maisis nus. They didn't get married to have children. And therefore the Gemara darshins, according to Yehuda, kol bia she'ein ba. Here it says pirza means she'ein ba pritza. Any type of bia that's not going to lead to vayifroids, that there's going to be produce, there's going to be children. Ein al b'liyaz nus, therefore it only has a status of b'liyaz nus. And that's why he calls her, because it says his nu, v'lo yifroitzu. Based on this, it's Rabbi Yehuda, one of the definitions of a zoyna that it says in the Torah about a kohen is an isha islandist, because lo yifroitzu, she's not able to produce children.
What about after she's done childbearing years?
So in fact, the Mefarshim talk about that. What about if you're talking about a girl, very early girl, or a person who's already zakena, she's already 95 years old, other than Sari Menu, or other than Yechabit, not expected to have a child. Yeah.
Or even pregnant or nursing, when yeah. not when
the parsha, the parsha
of the whole mitzvah of Onan, pretty
rigorous. So, you know, so in our Mishnah, remember the Mishnah didn't say a blanket iser for Yisraelim. It just says islands elam kain yeshli ishu banim. If you already had children, your question about marrying someone older. Sorry, Nachum.
I'm saying that this statement about Eilam Kain Yisraelim. Yeah. It seems like a very.
It's a very strong lashon, but it's related to the zoyna that a kohen should not go and marry a zoyna, and zoyna includes an islandist because they cannot have children. Anyway, Zukti Morah, by the way, an islandist doesn't mean just mean a woman that doesn't have children. She has simone islandist. In other words, you can tell that she's an islandist. There are many women that look like normal women, unfortunately have no children. But that's not an islandist. Islandist means that when she became bat mitzvah, and subsequently, she never had the normal simonim of growth of a normal girl. Mitchum, what those simonim are, will Mitchum learn vaita, exubis, and gittin, kiddushin. Yes, Rabbi Kol.
Aren't you fulfilling a mitzvah for your behavior when you have two children?
Yes, in fact, that's the next Mishnah. Down below, Mishnah, we're going to have the Mishnah.
Why should
fulfill
it? Why should
be after that? That's the Mishnah talking. There's a Mishnah. Elim kain yesh lisha, but if he already had a wife and children, then he can marry an Ivanist. Yeah, very good. So, the Mariah Zvaita, Tadri Blazer Oyman. Koin li yisah saktana. Koin should marry ktana. What's the reason why? Why did Blazer said a koin can't marry ktana? It's only Rav Chizel Rabba. Rav Chizel said to Rabba, Poik ayin ba, go and do research, go into the law library and do research. Because tonight Rav Huna is going to feher you, is going to ask, what's the source of Rav Blazer's halacha that a kohen cannot marry a ketana? Nofak, he went out, ayin ba nitaka was ma'ayin, and he came back, I know why! Because Rav Blazer sovela k'remeir, but sovela k'remeyuda. Because Rav Blazer holds like Remeir in one halacha, like Rav Yehuda in the second halacha, and you put these two halachas together, that's why he holds that a kohen should not marry a ketana. Sovela k'remeir, number one, like Barry always tells us, the chayish lemiuta. V'sovela k'remeyuda, the omer islandess, zoyna havia. So in other words, let's put these two together. He's marrying a ketana. The likelihood that this ketana is going to be an islandist is small, but Ramei is chayish lemiuta, so therefore potentially she might be an islandist. And according to Behuda, Kohen is not allowed to marry a zoyna, so she might be an islandist. And according to Behuda, an islandist is a zoyna. L'choira, we have a mahalach to understand Rebbe Lez's halach that a kohen can't marry a ketana. However, the Gemara immediately shoots it down. Does he hold like Ramei? But then look at the brayso. Remeir holds a cotton or a ktana can neither do chalitza nor do yibam, and this of course could be very problematic. You can have a husband that passes away, leaving over his wife. The only brother that's left is 2 years old. Since he's a cotton, he cannot do either yibam or chalitza. You're going to have to wait 11 years until he becomes bar mitzvah and either do yibam or chalitza, and then she's an aguna until he gets older.
So Shlomo
Melech,
the two women, relates to this, the story you sent around.
Yeah, that's number one. And number two, cotton, if she happens to be a ketana, you have the same problem. If she's only 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, etc. So the gabi chalitz and yim, she has to be a gedoil. So bottom line is,
why does she have to be a...
Arm related to Meir, Yofa Martashein Choltzin. We're going to see now in the Gemara, what's the mocker? So they said to Meir, Yofa Martashein Choltzin. I understand why a cut Nektana loy Choltzin. Why? Because it says, Ish Ksiba Parsha. By Chalitz it says, Vim loyach boitz ho ish lakachas es yivim toy. But it says in the pasuk, "Im loyach b'itzu ish." Okay, ish kasa b'tpashe. Ish means, by definition, a godel. So that's a bar mitzvah. Umakshin ish al ish. Since we're talking about the yivam and the ish, umakish one triya. El ma'itay me'in miyam. Why by yibam? Amalei says, "Ramei katan shem yimotzei saris." Because even though after 9 years old he's a bar bia, but it might turn out that he's a saris. And the Torah only said, "V'chayu v'charashet teileid." There's only a din of Yibam if he's able to have a child. But if he's a cotton, maybe he's a saris. Kitana, Shemati Matse, Islandis. And if it turns out that he's a cotton who's a saris, and she's a Kitana and might be an Islandis, then him to Poi Gimbi Erva. That's your mayor, because obviously it's only a very small percentage of the population of boys that are sarisim and girls that are Islandis. But Ramey is Chayishli Mute. Okay, so far so good, that's Ramey. Betanya, but I have another brisa. Ketana misya bemes v'eino choylatzes. Divrei Blazer. Blazer says, I agree that ketana eino choylatzes, like we had in the previous limud of Remeir. Ish ksiba parsha dim lo yach b'itzu ish l'kachas yivim toy. They do chalitza and makshina on ish al ish eino choylatzes. But why not misya bemes? I hold your misri bemes. What is this for of Remeir? Because chayish l'miyuta. Blazer says, ich b'nish chayish l'miyuta. I disagree with Remeir. So that's already on the first point that Rav Huna said that Reb Lezer holds like Reb Meir. Obviously, that's not the case because I see that he holds Ketana Misya Bemes. He's not Chayish Lamiut. So that was on point number one. On point number two, that Rav Huna said that Reb Lezer holds like Reb Yehuda, that Reb Yehuda holds that an islandess is a Zoyna, Uk Reb Yehuda Misavala, but Tanya, let's bring another Braisa. Zok the Braisa, now we're going to have four or five definitions of the word Zoyna. The first one, Zok the Tanakama, was meant a Zoyna. And Zok the Yimara, Zoyna, Zoyna Kishma, Divir Reb Lezer. The word means Zoyna Kishma. So, Vos Zok the Rashi. See, it's about 15 lines to the top of the Yomid, about 10 lines into the narrow light. Kishma means loshen toye, she toye mitachas bala la'achirim, that Reb Eliezer ain zoyne ela eishes ish. The word zoyne means she is zon, she's like a zonas akor, that she goes and gets sustenance by going to strange fields, like a soiter who goes off and goes astray to someone else. And therefore, the definition of zoyna is limited to an eishes ish that lives with another man. Real, what we call real adultery. That's the real case of a zoyna. Aha! But that's the only definition of Reb Lezer. So you see already immediately that Reb Lezer does not subscribe to Reb Yehuda that an islandess is a zoyna, so therefore we've knocked out both points of Rav Huna. But let's continue on the Braisa. Reb Akiva Oimer, Zoyna zu mufkeres. Both sides mufkeres, Dr. Rashi. Mufkeres is not what we think of a professional, but rather, unfortunately, like many girls today, non-Jewish girls. So Dr. Rashi, mufkeres afilu penuya me'ach shehefkira atzma lechol kruya zoyna. A girl that's willing to live with any boy, just hashana zoyna. Amishem bila achas le'ab zoyna penuya. Not like Reb Lozer, who's going to say a one-night stand already makes her into a Zayna, but she's Mufkeres Lakol, anybody and everybody, is she's a Zayna.
If she's on Eishas
not too much Eishas Ishta, too much Pnuya. But a Pnuya, look at Rashi, Mufkeres Afil Pnuya, but she's Mafkir Atzma Lakol, this Eishas Ishta Zayna. Reb Masi Ben Choresh, Aymer, Afil Holach Baal Lashkois, Ubo Aleva, Derech Aso Zayna. What Reb Masi Ben Choresh says, it's a, if you will, a little bit extreme, he's saying is, we know that when a Baal goes and takes her up the soita to Yerushalayim for purposes of being mashker, may soita. The aloch is he's not allowed to live with anymore because it says in the pasuk three times,
benitma.
And we already learned before that if in fact he does, state in pasuk, that the ish is nokimi avoin, says he more bezmanch menukami avoin. What's that menukami avoin? That he did not live with her from the time of Mekina Vestira until the time of Hashkar. Anyway, we see from that that that's an isur, says Mas bin Choresh, even an isur like that. What means an isur like that? We're not talking about an isur, a person marrying a mamzer or mamzeres. We're not talking about even a person who's machzik grushos and mishinissis. We're talking about a husband and wife. They are legitimately Mr. and Mrs. Rabbi and Rebbetzin. They're a husband and wife. And what's happening? He's living with her. He's choished her for kina v'sina that she might be a soita. We haven't established that she's a soita. We haven't established that she was mizana. I only have a suspicion. Baal does not live with her. Even in that case with her husband and wife, if you were to live with her, that's called an Isur, and that makes her into a Zayin.
So if you were a Kohen and he worked her, and according to this opinion, then he would be allowed to stay married to her because now she's a Zona? There's a Kohen's not allowed,
he's not allowed to live with her.
So no, once he lives with her, so Kohen warns his wife, stay away from Mr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes her, she doesn't listen, we don't know what happens.
Right.
They go up to Yerushalayim.
Right.
So Mr. Kohen says, lives with his wife on his way up there. Now she's become a Zona.
Now she's a Zona.
So now he's a Kohen, formerly married to a kosher woman, who's right. Now become a Zona.
Right.
So
now when he lives with her, now he's over in two things. He's over the Isser of Nidetma, and he's over living with a Zona. Okay. Exactly right.
No, but does he have to divorce her after that? I think that's what Barry's asking.
Right. I mean, what's the status?
I mean, Tana Lahama, once he renders her a Zayna.
I think that the only Isser is the living. In other words, what happens if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, or a Kohen marries a Grusha?
And they never consummate.
Or even if they do consummate. So the Oyv the Isser. Does he have a Chiv to go and go and give her a get now? Probably only that he shouldn't come to another Bia. But if they swear themselves from Bia, and presumably
so
they would. I think that's the case, yeah. Yeah. Continue on. Avada Allah would be that he should go and divorce her, but if he goes from Medina Sayyam or somewhere else, you know, where it's impossible, I don't think it's
possible. If B is not possible, the spiritual people have to get, like, Dan Machem's Tashmish.
Yeah.
Just has to get divorced, because you can't have a relationship.
That's 100%, yeah. No
so
question about it.
As well, you just, if Tashmish is not allowed.
Even there, is it an absolute chiv that they have to get divorced, or just not let her get to, they're not let her live together?
It's a yichud.
They're
not going to be
matzah
to each other.
Now you're talking about the yichud. I'm talking about the isser of being married to a nida. I don't think it's an isser being married to a nida, just you can't live with a nida. So the question is there an isser to be married to a grusha, to a chalutza, to an almona? You can't live with them. Anyway, halacha l'maisa, v'afkik and shulchan aruch, but for our purposes, this woman is now called a zoyna because she lived with Baala after she was suspected with takin of asir. Rabbi Yehudaim is zoyna zu islandess, that was our Mishnah, and islandess is also defined as a zoyna. V'chom ma'imrim, ein zoyna l'giyoris, v'shacharas, v'shavala, be'ilaz nus. Reb Lazer Oimer, not Reb Lazer, Reb Lazer, because we had Reb Lazer before. Reb Lazer Oimer, Panibah Panayel, Lishloig Lishem Ishus, Azor Zayin. In other words, any time that a boy lives together with a girl, premarital, and they were not married, she's already considered to be a Zayin. Anyway, what do we see from this? Bottom line is Rav Huna's analogy, not analysis, where he said that Reb Lazer is based on Halach of Reb Meir, the Chayish Lamiyuta, and Reb Yehuda that holds that every islandist is a Zayna, and that's the reason why Reb Lazer prohibited a Kohen from marrying a Ktana. It's faulty on both premises, because neither does he hold like Reb Meir, nor does he hold like Reb Yehuda. So what's the pshat in Reb Lazer that he said a Kohen shouldn't marry a Ktana? So the Gemara has another two or three possibilities. We're not talking about a regular Kohen. Reb Lazer is talking about a Kohen Gadol. Uh-huh. So what's the problem? He's going to marry a Kohen, a Ktana. When will there be the kinyan, the full-fledged kinyan? When she becomes a bas mitzvah. She's only 10 years old, and another 2 years she becomes a bas mitzvah. At that point, since he's already lived with her, ba'ulihi. So at her bas mitzvah, then the kohen gadol will no longer be able to go and live with her. We said in the Mishnah that as long as bishas the erusin, it was mutter, it's okay bishas the erusin. Because the Gemara is assuming that the kinyan was not chal until now, she was just a ktana. The kinyan wasn't chal. The first time that they'll have a real, real marriage will only be when she comes bas mitzvah. But by now she's a ba'ula. He's a kohen gadol. A kohen gadol cannot go and live with a ba'ula. That's what the Gemara assumes. Rav is very upset about this pshat of a Rava. Mechalilev means those that destroy the heart. The word heart over here means really the mind. The same b'libeinu bina lahavin lahaskil. So the word lev is often used in Chazal, often in the Torah, not to mean the heart, but as much really to use the intellect. Mechalilev means that you are destroying the intellect. What does he mean to say? Zok Rava, in the kidsha avua, if after all we're talking about a kohen gadol according to your pshat marrying a ktana. The Ktana presumably didn't go to the chuppah on her own. Presumably it was with her father. If it's kachu avua, mayishatu the kanila. Because since the Torah says it's bitin asatul isha zeh, if a ktan is married off through the father, it's a gedushin menat Torah. It is koine, even though she has no das, but we don't go after her das, we go after the father's das. And the father presumably was a gadol, otherwise he couldn't father a daughter. And if that's the case, and the kedusha was menat Torah, so there's no problem with the koine gadol marrying the ktana, because she became a ba'ula the first time when they were living together, and she was already mikudeshes menat Torah. So there's no problem. Maybe she unfortunately was an orphan and she didn't have a father. If that's the case, the point that you're making is excellent. Then in fact it would not be a kedusha min haTorah, and she only becomes a ba'ula at the time of the bas mitzvah, the kohen gadol taka would be prohibited. But then it says, Gemara, harablezi v'loy rabbanon, wouldn't everybody agree? Why is it rablezi that's machadish this? All the rabbis should agree that this would be osir. A kohen gadol could not marry an orphan who's a ktana on her own, in other words, without the benefit of a father, even if the mother and even if the older brother is still on the kedushin rabbanon, not minatoyer. So minatoyer, they're not married. So as soon as they're going to get the bas mitzvah, she's going to become a ba'ula. He's now going to go marry a ba'ula. Elo merava, therefore Rava says a brand new pshat. Let's go back to a regular pshat kohen hedjit, not a kohen gadol. The chashin and shema tispata olam. The reason why he shouldn't go and marry a ktana is, since a ktana happens to be very young, la bardas, we're afraid that there's going to be another adult man who may go and try to entice her with some candy or some other treats, and unfortunately she might become mefuta, she might become seduced by a man to go and live, and therefore she'll be ushered to her husband, to the kohen.
So every even a regular Yisrael.
Freit imari achi Yisrael nami. Say the same thing by an Eishes Yisrael. Was epstafka by a kohen. Tavok turik tana oinesu by Yisrael mishra shor. We had this already before. That is the difference between pitoy by a ktana of an Eishes Yisrael or an Eishes Kohen, because pitui by such a young ktana, we're assuming it's not really that she was mafuta, she was an oinus, she has no das,
she has no ratzon.
Exactly, she has no das, no ratzon. All of this is done in a sense against her real will. She doesn't know what a will is because she's only 8, 9, 10 years old. She does not. So therefore, legabe a koyin should be usher under all circumstances, because even a Yisraeli shenensa is usher to a koyin. But by Yisrael Mishra Shori, so therefore that's not a concern. So Yisrael could marry Ktana. I'm not worried about Pitui, but I'm worried by a Koyin. Rapapa Omer B'Koyin Gadol. No, I go back to the Koyin Gadol Pshat. So why can't the Koyin Gadol marry Ktana? V'hai Tano, it's the following Tana Desanya. It says in the Pasuk, B'Sula. Who isha b'vsuleh yikach or almana grusha chalola zaynes ei yikach ki em b'sula me'am av yikach isha darshting more b'sula yoch l'ktana l'choyrem b'sula means any girl that didn't have relations, so even l'ktana tamaloy menov who isha b'vsuleh yikach or ki em b'sula me'am av yikach isha, it's got to be an isha. Isha by definition means a gdol, like you said before, ish means a gadol, isha means a gdol. Isha, yochel begeris, I would think already even a begeris over the age of 12 and a half, and we had a machloik as the gabi begeris, so the kind gadol allowed to go marry begeris, because kolu psula, tamaloyim psula, no, begeris no good. It's a machloik, so Rameir, it goes like Rameir, that holds psula is no good. Ah, okay, that is a begeris no good. So tamaloyim psula. So now, freitas limar, yudashim psula yochel tana, tamaloyim isha. If it's an isha, I think yochel begeris, tamaloyim psula. So okay, it's that. Meaning that this Tana holds that a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Nara. He cannot marry a Ktana because she's not an Isha. He cannot go and marry a Begeres because she's no longer a full-fledged Sula. We have the same halacha from another Tana based on a different posik, but the same halacha, the Sanya. Psula ain't psula ela nara. When it says in the Torah that a kohen can only ki in psula me'am avika chisha, what's the definition? It means a nara. V'cheinu oimer. V'anari if toivas mara mo'oid, psula v'ish lo yidoa. Talks about Rivka, no? Rivka yimein. So it says v'anara, and it says psula. Ah! Zeich toch, that a nara, a psula, by definition means a nara, and therefore cannot be a ktana. Okay, so now we have a number of pshatim in what Rabbi Blazer said, the kohen can't marry Ktana, according to these last pshatim, talking about a kohen gadol, can only marry a psula, which means only a nah. Zorki bar Rabbi Blazer Oimer, this is what we had before, ponay abal, pnuy lo shol yishem isha, sasoh zoyna, she only becomes zoyna, she becomes a kohen cannot marry her. We do not follow that. And a zoin is only someone that engaged in an isur, according to Rashi, a chayav elavin, like marrying a mamzer, or like toises, a chayav ekrisus, but stam, a fling, a one night fling, is not a problem. It doesn't make her into it. It's a problem, but it doesn't become a zoin. Okay, Zukti Mishnah Vaita. Rabbi Kohn mentioned before what's the minimum of Piri Verivya. Zukti Mishnah, Levat Onam Piri Verivya. Elam Kin Yesh Levonim, unless he already has children. What's the definition of children? Bishami Om Mishnei Sram, as long as you have two boys. Bishal Om, Zochan Akev, Bishnema, Zochan Akev, Biro Om, a Machloikis, when you can be Makai and Piri Verivya, only with one and one, with both genders, or even two boys. Zukti Mar. From our Mishnah it says it doesn't say the Isha, just the previous Mishnah did use the expression, right? We had both Isha and Banim. Our Mishnah just says unless you already have children, but it doesn't talk about the status of being married. So the Gemara Darshan, the Gemara is Medayik, if in fact he has children, Baruch Hashem, he already had kids, 12 children, then he can be mevatel per virivya. He no longer has to worry about producing new offspring, but he should not be without a wife. What's the reason why he shouldn't be without a wife? Even a person has multiple children, he should not be without a wife. Everybody should be married. It's not good to be by yourself. Not good to be lonely. That's why you see here in the West Side, all those people have dogs and they're not married because nobody wants to be lonely. Everybody wants to have something. There was another version that if he has children, not only can he be mevatel per virivya, he can be mevatel from Isha as well. So tomorrow, name it to have a tiyuv to Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, because Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel said before, a person should have a wife, like Tov Yosef Omer Levadoi. So tomorrow, loy, ain't le bonim, no yisi yisa bas bonim, which can be medayik from the Mishnah differently. If he has no children, then he should marry a woman that is a bas bonim that can have children. In other words, a woman of childbearing age. Yesh le bonim, if he has children already, then no yisi yisa la bas bonim, then she can marry even a woman that is no longer capable of having children. Nafkimina, what's a nafkimina? He has to go and marry. So tomorrow, limkar sevetreda bishvil bonim. Vos meintes, explains Rashi, look at Rashi, six lines in the bottom. Limkar sevetreda. Kidelisa bas bonim, if a person did not have children, he wants him a kind of mitzvah piriverivya, he should marry a woman that can have children. If he has no funds, and the woman doesn't want to marry him because you have no parnasa, he could even sell a sefer Torah. However, if he has children from before, then he should not insist, I dafka want to marry bas bonim, because he already has bonim, therefore he should be willing to marry anyone, even a woman who's barren or is an older lady, and not say, sell us a Torah for that purpose. Right. So we have a minion. Only nine people. Have a